You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hi, I'm John Strong. I'm the large bald man who stands next to Stu Holden when you watch soccer on Fox Sports. You are listening to The Cooligans.
Yeah, affirmative, baby!
Yeah! Yeah, baby! Okay. Hello! And welcome.
That is racist.
You're white, Daryl. I can get away with it. Welcome to yet another Cooligans and Total Soccer Show collaboration.
Isn't this beautiful?
Yes.
It's nice to be back with these boys again.
That English guy and that hipster who have a soccer show.
Isn't that doesn't that redirect to our website
yes,
now?
English yeah. guy
I think it's still
and
your bio. I think it's still the link
I
in your bio.
I just changed it. I changed it a few days
English
ago,
guy yeah. and hipster soccer show?
Yeah,
like
that's
that?
It. .com.
Yeah.
You never know you're a hipster until people call you out for it, and then you're like, yeah. No, well, okay. Yeah.
But, yeah. So
you're
hello.
Just picking up a piece of reclaimed wood, like, all right, damn it.
I think I actually had a record in my hand. Fair's fair.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Okay, and we are here with Daryl Grove and Taylor Rockwell of the Total Soccer Show. This is part two of our collab episode, our crossover episode that we are currently doing in Washington, D.C., right before the match, the Cuba match against the U.S. men's national team.
Right.
Okay. And Alexis has a dog in this fight. Okay.
Right. I'm repping the U.S., but right now I got that Cuba jersey on, baby.
That's the Cuba jersey?
Well, it's the one that our fan made for us. That's the Cuban coat of arms.
Oh, remember in Orlando, yeah. the guy who made the Platano phone?
Yes.
He made
the jersey.
I don't know for sure, but I feel very confident that the Cuban national team is not sponsored by Adidas.
Yeah, no.
Just going on a limb there.
It might be sponsored by Apritis, which is a guy who just makes Adidas knockoffs. It look okay, right? I put the four stripes on the shoulder, one extra stripe.
It's the same thing.
It's one better.
Yeah. It's one more. And it's cheaper. Would you get more fabric? What more do you want?
So this is part two. If you want to listen to part one, make sure you subscribe to the Total Soccer Show and listen to that because
incredible.
That was also very, very fun. And had
these guys, what, been doing soccer podcasts, what, 9 years now?
2009. I think we're in our 10th year.
This is it. Wow.
Yeah.
A decade in.
Yeah.
Crushing it 5 days a week.
Look at
and
that.
And yet they made us audition in a conference room before they even let us on the show.
There was here no count. So I guess like we'll really do an audition.
So we're doing listener questions. This is part two of listener questions.
I like how you move swiftly.
That's what I'm here for, baby.
Smooth. 4 years smooth. In, baby.
So we have a bunch of questions from listeners of Total Soccer Show and the Cooligans, and we're going to get through a bunch of them. So first up, this one made me laugh immediately. This is from Royce the Voice. He says, is Taylor Rockwell's pronunciation of Cuba bad or real bad?
Oh, because you might have heard our preview show, but Taylor did a Cuba pronunciation.
Cuba.
Really bad.
Yes. I mean, it feels a little like you cut your sentence off for a Cuba. Gooding Jr. You know what I mean? You were really wild.
It also sounds like the name of
you don't know my process.
It sounds like the name of like a igloo cooler that you get. Cuba. You this is a good one. It's a Cuba. It doesn't let anything out.
So how should I do it?
Yeah, barely.
How should I actually not do it? But how do you do it? It's a better
it's
way.
It's a little too hard on the C K Q sound.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Cool.
Ba.
Cuba.
That's better.
That's much better.
Yes, that's much better.
That you've slid into
sounds the same.
Bad.
Sounds the same.
No, you went Cuba before.
No, it sounded a little bit like Cuba. Mm-hmm. Like it's like the KU sound was too short and the BA was extended.
Also, right. Cubans
but
don't
now
really
I want
pronounce
you
the
two
B.
to pronounce khakis. That's my people.
Sure. Senator's pants. Oh, I can't do it.
It wasn't that bad. I mean,
no,
it was just bad, not real bad.
It just sounded like it was bad.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Okay, so let's. I'm kind of just going through these. This is from David Carrillo. Who's better at foosball amongst all of us?
I think it might be me.
I would agree with
that. Because when I was in sixth form, which is the 16 to 18 college thing, we had a foosball table and we would skip some lessons and just really play foosball a lot.
Spins and no spins.
No spins.
Okay.
Come on.
See, there we go.
Oh, look how passionate he got there. Yeah, it's Daryl.
And I'm not saying I'm good. I'm just better than you three.
Okay. I'm pretty bad at foosball.
I felt like you would be okay with seeding that one. I'm not sure about Alexis.
I'm kind of okay at it, but not good. Okay. So, yeah, no, I'll give it to Daryl.
Okay.
He's also English. Mm-hmm. I feel like they had nothing to do with the invention of it, but they're going to claim they did. You know?
you're not good at poker, right? Or you don't play poker?
No, I don't know if I'm good at poker, but...
But you are sneaky good at, like, table games. Like, you're very good at pool.
What's a table? Oh, okay.
I guess, I don't know.
Any game played on
like
table.
Foosball, I'm assuming you're good at bumper pool. Table tennis? You play table tennis?
Yeah, not brilliantly, but... Yeah.
What about you two?
I'm pretty good at table tennis.
That's one I want to see.
I'm trash at it.
I feel like you have the reach. There's no way I could beat Christian Polacco.
Yeah, because I grew up playing handball, so I have like the instincts for it. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
It's the same, but you get extra reach with the bat. Yeah. The paddle.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It's easier.
I play with my hand. I don't even need the damn paddle.
Too bad there's no table game that mimics masturbating as a teenager. Because I'd win that one.
All right. Competitive masturbating.
If you do it on a table.
Yeah.
Look how fast that dude is.
That probably is a niche somewhere.
Yeah,
so there
sure
you go.
Somewhere.
The skill, the grace.
I know. He's not even breaking a sweat.
Porn commentary by golf commentators. Perfect.
As you can see there, he's switched to his left hand, also known as the stranger.
I like you have a caddy probably recommending what you do next as well.
He's just spraying lotion.
He's like, just take your rings off.
Yeah. You're not proving anything to anybody, man.
Stay away from the sun.
It's the only way I could finish. Anyway.
Okay. Next up.
This is the time when I firmly remember that we're on their show. Yeah, yeah.
Daryl's already freaking out about having to edit this. You don't have to be.
I'm more concerned for Fubo.
You shouldn't be. They're well aware of what they purchased.
Next up, this comes from Esteban Caballero. And he has an Arsene Wenger avatar. So, you know, he's one of the Alexis's homies.
He's one of the homies, Caballero.
This is a great question. He says, the four of you get to draft one player and to make a five-a-side team. What would the tactics be, and how would you fare in a local league?
Ooh.
So pick a player.
We've done it before, right, where we've picked a team?
We've picked like our top five or something like that in general, but this would be us four are a team. We have a squad.
Oh.
We're picking one player.
Oh.
And now what is our strategy on how to win this game?
I mean, you got to take Leo Messi, right?
My
Will Trapp's busy tonight, so you're gonna take Messi.
That was gonna be my pick, but yeah, Messi's slightly better, only slightly, but yeah, slightly better. I think usually my answer to this question is Arturo Vidal. Just in any question where I'm creating a team, Arturo Vidal was my answer, but he is getting up there in age. So yeah, if it's the four of us
and Arturo Vidal,
yeah, I'm gonna throw in because you would not stop talking to him the whole time.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, I'm gonna say Messi.
How do you get your hair like that, man?
How many times you bick that thing?
As far as tactics, what would be our approach?
I say draft Messi and give the ball to Messi. You good with that? And then we all lay down in front of goal.
I'm big on if you're playing five a side, especially if you play small sided, man marking and pressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we'd be a team that like was really hard to break down, man marking and pressing. Matheus Almeida.
Almeida. Winning MLS Cup just like
man to man the whole time. Eventually we win the ball back.
I think
then
he brought that up for that reason.
Yeah. Then give it to Lionel.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like tell him to turn up in a Barcelona jersey, not an Argentina.
Why don't we
jersey?
Just say not Messi? If you had to take an MLS player, we had to pick a player that's currently in MLS.
Ooh,
Vela, probably. Vela? Yeah, because he could score from anywhere. Or Zlatan, because he's just going to shove everyone out of the way.
Yeah, Zlatan, because he'd get away with fouling people.
Yeah.
Maybe Quincy Ameriquois, for the reasons that we've learned now, that he can just get in people's heads and cause drama the entire time.
Oh yeah, he would cause fights. The league the five-a-side league we play in, or seven-a-side. Yeah, he would cause fights every week. It'd be glorious.
I'm leaning back thinking about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't lean so far back because we want you in the show.
Further back, you said? Off camera? Is that what's the deal? All right. I'm back in. Hi.
Okay. So let's ask this question. I just had it in front of me, but I'll ask a different one. I don't know the story behind it, but it seems interesting. Can you address, this is from Jake. He says, can you address the conspiracy theory that Lampard is fielding a farm team for the English national team, which has a lot to do with the lack of playing time for the checks notes, assist leader of Chelsea tied with two fullbacks in far fewer minutes. So is this a reality where...
Who asked this question?
This is Jake Mon 426.
I feel like that's a conspiracy theory that Jake came up with and then attached conspiracy theory to to give it a little bit more credit. I've not heard that theory at all.
Conspiracy requires more than one person. So
okay.
Let's zoom in on this. Now we got two.
Hold on. The reason I'm at Kim McCauley, who posted, she posted a,
this is a great video.
Damn it, man.
What are you looking for?
She posted one of those, like, I forget what they're called, like the thing where it's like round and there's stats for two players.
Comparing her to Mason Mount.
Simone Biles.
Yes. Thank you. Listen to the first segment. Whatever it is. She posted it for
Mason Mount and Christian Pulisic comparing each other.
Christian Pulisic is destroying him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why is Mason Mount start? Because he's English, and English people don't trust Americans.
The conspiracy.
Because we beat you in a war?
Yeah.
Is that what happened? Because we threw your trash-ass tea in the water?
The only...
There was sugar in the water. We were trying to make that thing taste good.
The camera's not English.
Sorry. I'm just yelling at all the English people watching. Thank you for watching.
The only actual conspiracy theory is that Frank Lampard coached Mason Mount for a whole season last year at Derby. And like really knows him and believes in him. That's why Mason Mount
is Frank Lampard's world trap, basically.
Yeah,
it's a player that he's coached.
His Giazzi's Ardes. His Giazzi's Ardes.
But also, Mason Mount doesn't play the same position that Pulisic plays, right? Isn't he's more of a central midfielder and Pulisic is a winger?
He can play wide or he can play central, yeah. Okay. And then the other thing is Chelsea recently switched formation, so they're sort of playing like sometimes a 4-3-3 or a 3-4-3 so that Mount can be like... in behind two attacking midfielders in behind a striker.
Okay.
So when there's no winger, Pulisic's just like, oh, there's no position for me in this formation.
And he hasn't necessarily looked out of place. I said this one in like his one of like maybe his first two games. He does, for whatever reason, seem to me like he's getting pushed around a lot in the Premier League more. It's just a much more physical league. And I think he's not like did you see the Maradona documentary?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And one of the points he made was like when he moved to Italy.
To Napoli,
where he was like, I'm getting beaten up. I have to change the way I play. I have to position myself differently. And I think that's the struggle that Pulisic is in right now. Where
I'm
he's
sure
like,
Pulisic will find that balance sitting on the bench. He needs to play.
No, but I agree with Christian. And I would say that like if you look at the rest of that Chelsea team, obviously because of the embargo, it's players that have been there for a while that have Premier League experience. Mason Mount, you mentioned, less Premier League experience, but played a year with
Frank Lampard experience.
And is still like in the English championship, is familiar with the physicality of it.
Yeah.
And so I almost think that Lampard coming in as a new manager is trying to like get his team off to as good of a start as he can. And I think that doesn't always lend itself. If you're trying to win right now, it doesn't lend itself to and also develop new players or young players.
Yeah.
And so I think that probably comes with time, but that's my answer as to why Pulisic isn't playing. It's because he's not strong enough, but he's not quite like up to that skill level, I think, or up to that competitiveness level. And until he gets there, he'll probably be a substitute until.
Yeah, the thing that's really telling, because we took a good look at the Carabao Cup game where Lampard put like a A-/B+ team out. Loads of players took huge advantage of having that sort of opportunity. Like Batshuayi scored, Reece James, the right back, scored. A load of Callum Hudson-Odoi came back from injury and scored. And Pulisic, I think late on, got like an easy assist. You know what I mean? So like he just isn't making an impact, right? And so he's not making like a really strong case of, oh, we brought him on for 10 minutes and he roasted five guys and scored.
But
right?
I thought
it's just that we're more interested in him. I think Lampard's quote was, everybody has a story, right? You know what I mean? Every player's got like a backstory and a reason why you want them to succeed, but I can't pick all of them at the same time.
Exactly. But I think him making a case for himself was after he did get the assist that I think that Batshuayi scored. They did do that dance, that coordinated dance together. So I think...
He hit the whoa
together. I mean,
as far as I'm concerned, I don't know what music Lampard listens to, but that's my starter right there.
Okay.
I might even wear a starter jacket on the sideline just to represent.
Did you hear my theory about that? Because you weren't
about
on that
the
show.
The Batshuayi Pulisic thing?
Yeah, about the celebration. That right there, this is when we did the weekend review with Ryan Bailey.
Oh, this is a different assist, right? This is the Premier League assist.
This is the Premier League assist. It came on for the last like 7 minutes.
But my theory there is that if you are if you're really frustrated by your situation, like if Pulisic were truly upset that he wasn't getting more playing time, that he felt disrespected, you don't do a choreographed celebration with your teammate. Like, to me, that's like, if you have good chemistry and you're enjoying it, then you might work on those celebrations.
We're all more worried than Christian Pulisic.
I agree with that completely. Yeah.
I also think it's a way for him to connect.
US soccer, we're just freaking out all the time.
Yeah. I think it's just a way for him to assimilate more with the team. Like, remember the video where it was like him the first day he was out there doing like the, what's that called, where everyone kicks the ball and there's the one
rondo
guy in the middle? The rondo. Yeah. He was kind of like, staring like big wide-eyed like what they're laughing. He was like, ha, 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 what are we laughing at, guys?
it was like
first day at school vibes, you know. And I think he's kind of a nerdy kid, for the lack of a better term. He's kind of an awkward dude.
I think that came out last week that like there was a quote that he was shy or something like that. So
and there's like a team of adults that, even if they're kids, are like, they've been playing in a professional setup for a long time, and they're much more familiar with the culture there than he is, so on and so forth. And they're all kind of joking around and BSing with each other. And he's like, huh, what? You know, I came from Germany. We don't talk, you know? And I think
how it works?
I might have made that part up. That's a quote, by the way. So talk to Christian Pulisic. But I think the opportunity to do that dance with Batshuayi was like, look, I'm just like you guys. I saw you do the dance. I could do it too, you know?
Yeah.
He's like the little brother who wants to hang out with his older brother when his friends come over.
Yeah.
They're buddies, though, because they have the Dortmund days.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Batman. Okay. Next up, this is from Josario Marchoa. Oh, yeah, Rosario. I don't know how he says it. But he says, when are the soccer cooligans going to bring Total Soccer Show on Fubo TV?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Oh, boy. Made it awkward, buddy.
Well, yeah. I do. It's worth pointing out, before we started recording this, Christian started making plans for us to maybe make an appearance.
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure that was raised in advance of this so that this moment was less awkward.
Yes.
Yes, we coordinate. Me and Josiah coordinated this together. Yeah. So
he doesn't even know how to say his name, and they coordinated.
Sniff that one out, sir.
I have invited them, and we're going to figure it out, get them to the big city, New York.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully they're not too intimidated by the bright lights.
and the good pizza.
But that will happen, and that would be, it's going
to
be.
Well, we've got to negotiate a fee.
Yeah. Okay. And we've given you our rider. We only have brown M&Ms, right?
Yeah.
We go the opposite.
We want specifically the brown M&Ms that were removed from Van Halen.
Yes, exactly.
Good, because there's a bucket of them at NBC. I would just go in there and get them.
Okay, next up. This is from...
No walnuts.
He says, this is from Dan Vaughn. Great Twitter handle. @soccerbarista. What a great name.
Yes. Oh, okay. Dan is also protagonist soccer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. I'm going to bet this is about lower league soccer in some way.
Yes, it is.
There we go.
Dan says, considering the branding success in the grassroots level, examples for Madison, Providence City, Minneapolis City, which MLS clubs would do best if MLS would loosen up? Also, will MLS ever allow more creativity?
So, in terms of branding. Not in terms of like attacking midfielders.
No, they have no interest in that.
Do not loosen up there. But add some nice... colorful shirts.
I feel like Alexis has a lot of opinions on this stuff. I mean, obviously, more creativity is better than less creativity.
I think it's starting now with the media teams. You know, like, you know, we're seeing Portland do some incredible things. We're seeing San Jose do some incredible things.
Yeah.
I think the more it slides to that, the more, you know, and we've talked about this all the time, like American soccer gets the chance to sort of create its own culture. So we don't have to be so stodgy like the Premier League clubs. You know what I mean? We don't have to be so... you know, sort of drenched in tradition like some of the other clubs. We could be silly and fun and have a good time. Doesn't matter. We're a 25-year-old league, 26-year-old league. So I think get the folks that aren't doing those things. Obviously, LA Galaxy is doing those things. LAFC is doing those things. Houston Dynamo, not really popping that much on Twitter and on Instagram. Get them to be more. I think now that that's happening, I think we'll see it hopefully slide. I think the moment we get to buy our own, that teams, clubs get to sign their own shirt manufacturer.
Oh, you mean never?
Yeah, of course. It's never going to happen. But if that were to happen, I think it would be... That's why Forward Madison has dope kits. I mean,
you're right. That's really true. Yeah.
How many teams or clubs in MLS have white kits?
All of them.
Yeah, all of them. I mean, it's a lot. It's enough. We're not allowed to have a third kit. Why is
and
that?
Couldn't they even like... I mean, it's probably going to be Adidas or it could be a different manufacturer. They're probably always going to have the same manufacturer, but they could still negotiate a deal where... you just say, hey, loosen up the design. Like, don't just do one template for all the teams. Let each team like submit their own designs from an in-house graphic designer with some fresh ideas.
Well, no, that's going to be an intern.
that is like an interesting way of looking at it. Cause I would say like there are certain clubs or teams that I would say like could use with a little bit of a rebrand or like a fresh, less maybe sanitized version. And then I think, but you're also right then from an MLS standpoint, it's also the case that they're not really inviting creativity and individuality when it comes to those teams. So it's probably like the teams themselves could do a little bit better, but the league itself could do a little bit better.
And what would be the downside of negotiating something with Adidas where they like give teams leeway to create jerseys that really pop? Surely that's good for Adidas.
I don't know. What would be the downside of letting flags be waved in the stands? Oh boy. It's
not on our show, boys. No, so you can say whatever you want. I think
stick to soccer, Alexis.
Shut up and dribble. I think the biggest issue is probably the fact that MLS jerseys don't sell as much as other ones. Mm-hmm. So it makes more sense to put them on a template, something that they can easily just print off quickly.
Yeah.
You know, throw a badge on it.
Maybe they'd sell more if the designs were more interesting.
Which was my next point. If Forward Madison probably sells as much as many jerseys as, you know, I don't know, a Montreal Impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're a really small.
Because there's flamingos on it.
Full mango.
I have a flamingo. I also,
I was just
like
in Japan. I was just in Japan, and I was actually, I went to soccer stores to see like what they carried and stuff like that. And it's all the Manchester United and Tottenham and Arsenal and stuff like that. But they, but every store, depending on what city you were in, had the their J League kit. But you could
just the local team.
Just the local team. You couldn't get, because I was in Kyoto and I wanted to get the Vissel Kobe David Villa's kit, and they were like, "No, you have to. You would have to go to Kobe if you wanted to get it." So it, I, it almost feels
Did you
like
try a Ross dress for less. Sometimes you can just get random ones.
Okay, well, it's a great commercial. Are they, are they a sponsor?
What?
Funny you should say that.
Where did that just come from?
If you guys
pull a gift card.
If you go there, they'll randomly, like in Richmond, they'll just randomly have like a. A San Jose jersey for like $7.
Oh yeah,
that is definitely true. But you still just nailed. Like, are you holding out on me? Yeah. Are they a sponsor and you're just gonna turn that money over?
We never said we couldn't negotiate private deals.
Yeah. You guys are a single entity. I think Marshalls does the same thing. Like you'll find like why like. You know, Jordan ones that are selling for like $300 on StockX for like $60.
Yeah.
And you'll find sometimes MLS jerseys. Every once in a while, people post those and be like, yo, hurry up to Marshall's. There's like 1,000 Atlanta United jerseys.
And if we say other stores are available, then we're covered, right? Everything's good.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, next question.
Go to Japan, dude.
This is from Will. Will Draves. He says, which father-son combo would win in a 2v2 game? The Pulisics, the Weas, or the Bradleys?
The Bradleys.
The Weas.
Nah. You know how old that dude is now? Bob Bradley's in incredible shape, and he coached his son. So I feel like they would know where's where.
I think the Bradleys would just pass to each other and never get the ball forward.
I genuinely don't know this. Did Bob Bradley play? Like, I mean, I'm assuming he played to some extent, but I don't
think he played college, right?
I've spoken to some of the LAFC players, and I heard that Bob Bradley does not play.
Okay. I mean, I would say the Weas. I do feel like the Bradleys have a win at all costs mentality that would probably like be see some legs broken, like, some hard tackles.
All the sons are good, mm-hmm. So you go with the dad that was the Ballon d'Or winner.
Are you talking about right?
So we're talking about the Bradleys.
Also, you're not allowed to tackle the president, right?
That is definitely true.
So yeah, he could go.
He did play in a friendly, right? I wonder if that was one of the rules.
He could go in with. Oh, he actually looked kind of big in that friendly.
Yeah, though. Yeah. A little bit.
He's living that president life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I wish you could tackle a president.
Well, we're not too far.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
We're not too. Okay, next question. This is from Corey Ocular. He says, in your opinion, what is the difference between a young player being overhyped and a young player not living up to his or her potential? Is there a good example of each, and which U.S. players are at risk of being in each of these categories?
Freddie Adu is a good example of someone who was overhyped and maybe didn't have the potential that he was sold as having.
I actually think it's both for him, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think he was overhyped and he also didn't live up to his potential.
Because of the overhype.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I think there's other ones, like anytime you have, this isn't an American one, but I go to Manchester United when I need to because it's the easiest one. There's like Federico Maqueda.
One season where he
scored like 2 goals in a row and it turned the title race around and everything. And everybody thought this is the next thing. And that happened with Adnan Januzaj as well. I think whenever you're basing your entire understanding of that player on like one or two cameo appearances, but they're young and they're exciting, so you kind of raise those expectations. That to me is when the expectations are unfairly high. Whereas a player who you kind of have seen developed and brought in, and then they kind of Adnan Januzaj again, and then some like kind of falls off and maybe doesn't quite make it for a variety of reasons, that's where I think it's more of them not living up to their potential. And I kind of do think that Freddie Adu is both of those things.
Mm-hmm. Is there a certain age where you're like, they should, when there is a player that seems to have a potential with like
how old is Bojan is my answer to that question. Like he's still young, I think, but is now in Major League Soccer and is all over the place. I never really know what to make.
Well, like Lampard, speaking of Lampard, bringing him up again, he was like, oh, you know, Pulisic, he's 20, he's 21. Mm-hmm. Like he has a lot of time, but I feel like that's not, I think he was being a little dismissive because we are pretty hard on young players and there have been examples of young players being pretty spectacular. But what is there a certain age where we can, where we stop sort of putting that pressure on that young player anymore?
When we're disappointed like with how it's gone or?
Well, no, in general, just like where they've met some standard where we're comfortable with like not being as critical or like,
well, it's not so much the age as the achievement, right? It's like a level of achievement that you hit and you're like, oh, you did it.
Well, right. It's almost like
so Freddie Adu got signed by Real Madrid and won the Champions League. We'd be like, yeah, Freddie.
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
You don't have to sell vacuums anymore,
well,
buddy.
Mission accomplished.
Well, like people like Jamie Vardy, who didn't really kind of bloom until later in age.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure that he was clearly dismissed and playing in non-league football. And then he made it to the national team. So it's like it's almost like at the question about the player's age is, I guess, not super relevant to towards.
It is if you consider 27 the peak, right? You want to maybe hit by like 24, 25. You want to get a good 3 years at the top.
Christian, I think to your point, like, I don't know if I would say there's like a specific age range. I think it's about what you're doing at certain ages. And I would say, like, say Pulisic is where he is right now. Next season, this time, he is actually starting and playing really, really well. And say that goes so well that then he moves to Real Madrid in 3 years. But now he struggles again because it's a bigger club with like higher expectations. At that point, like, he's continued to move up and it's kind of gone like Dortmund struggled, like found his way through, went to Chelsea, struggled, found his way through, went to Madrid, struggled.
As so opposed the graph like, kind of goes
it
like
still
that,
kind of
right?
goes up, whereas like there are plenty of like young Americans who go to a Bundesliga team or a Spanish team and then we kind of don't hear from them for 5 years and then they're back in Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
And that to me is when like they go to the team and they're in the academy and they're in the reserves and then they're in the reserves and then they're in the academy.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they're out looking for a new club. That's when, like, if there's no sort of
and you
sign
sign a
of
USL,
momentum,
you sign a USL championship contract.
Exactly. Yeah. Not mention anyone specifically. but yeah, so that's it for me. Is like, if you don't see the obvious signs of improvement.
Yeah.
Like, I guess there is probably an age. I'm not sure what that would be for me. But.
Yeah, I guess the name that pops in my mind as you're saying that is like Keaton Parks, where he's just, in Benfica's B team and here at NYCFC and finding some success. And I just hope it doesn't look like he's in a decline because the team is playing very, very well. So hopefully he can maybe get back and Benfica can actually play for their starting team. So who
and I would say his rise is like Benfica B is, I know it's, I think they compete in the league, same as like Young Ajax or kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But it's not really first team football.
Mm-hmm. No.
So you come to Major League Soccer, he has a
season.
Literally
has B next to it,
He has a season of first team football, right? Then the next step would be to do that maybe in a slightly bigger league, but at least his graph goes like this.
Okay.
Right, but he was also someone who was overlooked by the U.S. national team. That's how
was
they, they discovered Benfica discovered him in a
you say tall, how'd you overlook him?
Well, I love it. You have no idea. They found him on some competition in Dallas.
Oh, you're talking about like youth teams.
He wasn't drafted by MLS or MLS wasn't considering him at that age.
Yeah,
or
it's
anything.
Almost as if there were massive holes in the net.
What? Yeah. No.
Didn't Pulisic say that? Anyway.
Okay, next question. This is from Adrian Viveros. He says, who should Orlando City hire as coach number 4?
Jermaine Jones.
Oh, did you see this? Jermaine Jones did post an Instagram story saying,
hey guys, should I coach?
Should I coach an MLS team? And he tagged Orlando City.
Should I coach at MLS team?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay, it's fine. You don't need to know how to speak to be a coach.
No, of course not.
It's a nonverbal position.
Right? Yeah. You don't have to yell much.
Who should they hire? What is Orlando City doing, especially with getting rid of James O'Connor this quickly? It seems like.
Well, apparently Solari.
That was a rumor. Santi Solari.
Oh,
okay.
Right. They do have
played college soccer in the U.S., right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Former Real Madrid.
I didn't know that.
Real briefly.
I would imagine. They do have to do something quickly, though, because I think with the Miami Beckhams coming online, like now you have competition north of you in Atlanta and then also south of you in Miami. So I think they have to try to identify what their identity should be. And I feel like if they want to go with, like, we're going to be a team that. As opposed to Miami, who are going to be off flash, we're going to develop young players. Like maybe that's Tab Ramos and you put him in there. And that's one who has a lot of connections to U.S. soccer and young players. But if you're going to try to compete with Miami on that front, then you go with maybe a larger name and hope it works out. That seems to be the approach of some teams.
Isn't there
Gattuso? Let's get Gattuso.
Isn't their owner a Brazilian billionaire?
Who?
Orlando City.
Orlando City. Yeah, there is.
They're going to want to compete with Beckham on that flash. So I think if you get someone with an international pedigree, I always think that's great, but there is a year and a half to figure out how to compete within MLS because of all the sort of regulations and the cap. You can't just go buy a player mid-season. You know what I mean? Like, you have to work with what you have. So I'm a little worried about that, the same way I was worried about an Almeida when he first came in and, Remy Gard when he went to Montreal. Yep. But if you're going to hire someone who knows how to win. Like, if Bruce Arena's not going anywhere in New England, but if he were... That's the guy you get.
He wants to retire in the sun.
Yeah, that's the guy you get. Someone like that, someone who knows how to win an MLS. your team has not made has played one has not played one playoff game.
No, they have not.
Bro, just get in the damn playoffs. That's all you got to do.
I don't
even play the playoff game. Just get in and be like, look, we did it. Leave us alone.
I mean, there seems to be something up with the culture at Orlando City where the when you hear Justin Merriam's accounts of like playing there, the fans just like didn't have a healthy relationship with nearly anyone at the club and kind of wanted to get out of there as soon as possible. So any coach that can kind of just change the dynamic in the locker room and maybe add some optimism or something.
Jurgen Klinsmann, you convinced me.
they just need a coach that just comes in and be like, hey, guys, turn those frowns upside down. Yeah.
And what are we doing to make ourselves happier today?
That's all, man.
Is James O'Connor going to be the weirdest all-star coach like 10 years from now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of who else it's been, and it feels like he's a pretty good contender for
the
it.
The photo of him next to Diego Simeone is one of the greatest pictures. Diego Simeone's like, what? What?
Okay, last question.
Louisville.
This is from...
I would pay money to hear him try to pronounce Fat City.
You would all say, Louisville?
That's it.
Okay.
This is from, hey, I'm Matt. So thanks, Matt. It says, what was your favorite/most memorable stop on last year's tour?
Oh, wow. The Chicago bar closing down.
That was wild.
And actually, the Chicago show was really good.
Incredible.
I can't remember the name of the venue, but...
Laugh Factory.
The Laugh Factory. Here's a very selfish reason I really enjoyed it, is we went there during the day, right? Did you perform?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You both...
Oh, yeah, we were there.
We both did,
you both performed, right? Yeah, so we were there and we saw some other stand-ups and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
What made me excited is... It was more full for our thing at night than for the comedy showcase during the day.
Yeah,
so it was the first time when I walked in and I was like, oh, we're doing better than the comedians.
Yeah. You can say that most of the time.
That's kind of selfish, but it gave me a big boost because it's actually quite a big venue, right? And we got a lot of people in there.
Yeah,
it has a whole balcony area.
We had great guests, right?
They were funny. We didn't have to pull
two players from the Fire, two players from the Red Stars. Yeah, they kind of sniped at each other on stage, which was
great. World Cup legend?
Yes.
Rosie White.
Danny Calaprico, who should have made the team. You know, Drew Connor, who played for Suoyo.
Snyoimo.
Snyoimo.
In what country?
Second tier, I think. I think
they both had strokes.
In the Czech Republic. No,
he played in the second.
FC Snyoimo.
He moved to Czech Republic.
He's
back now. I think he's with Indy 11.
He's playing at Indy 11. He scored his first two professional goals because he had never scored for the Chicago Fire. And he scored his two professional goals for Indy 11, so I was very happy for Drew
Connor.
Nice.
I want to say Johnson was the winger.
Daniel Johnson. Who's also left the Chicago Fire. I think he's playing in USL.
Oh, wow. We've Chicago Fire cast.
Everybody gets it.
Rosie White did play in the World Cup.
She did.
For New Zealand. New Zealand, that's right.
Yeah.
So we're not totally cursing all of our
and
guests.
One of the players in the back who came to hang out retired. What was the dude's name?
One of the players.
What, he was like a defender?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot his name, but he played for the Fire.
Mitch Hildebrandt was at the Atlanta show. I'm pretty sure he's not with Atlanta anymore either. Maybe we are the curse.
Please still come on the show.
I'll say the Atlanta show because that seemed to me like a kind of like a... It seemed like
I thought that was amazing.
It was like I agree. Chicago was great, and also the bar thing was a story I tell people still don't believe.
Yeah, so we went next door, just the nearest bar, right?
Yeah,
we went next door.
Well, because there was the first time there was a show after us.
Yes.
So everyone's like, you got to leave. You can't hang out here with the fans, and the fans wanted pictures and all that.
Yeah.
So we told everyone just go to the bar next door. Turns out that was their last night in existence after 80 something years.
Yeah.
So they were like just handing full bottles of liquor.
They were in
great.
Business until we turned up.
Yeah, that's right. They were fine.
Yeah.
Atlanta to me was amazing to have all those legends on stage. And also Alexi Lalas was there. Like all those, just everyone on stage and the audience was like left Men in Blazers to come see the four of us.
Yes.
It felt like such a, like.
They were also 2 hours late. Just saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we were on time. Most of the time. But to me, Magic cried. I mean, it was just the most. It was
a lot happened.
Yeah, the crowd chanted Herbalife. I mean, what gets better than that? Yeah.
But I don't mean this solely from a name droppy perspective, but like to what you were saying, I think there was a moment when we were on stage and it was like just looking around and being like, oh, like Tony Miola, Alexi Lalas, that's cool. Max Bratos is here. Like Jason Davis is in the crowd. Like Paul Tenorio, a bunch of the Athletic guys, which is great. Like, so it was just a cool like soccer community. But then that crowd was amazing. Jay Riddle did an amazing job of getting people there and like making that show as good as it was. And then I think it was just a really fun, lively show. We got to sign the wall. That was the only time we got to do that
on
tour. So
that was big, especially for me and Taylor. I'm sure you guys have signed walls before as comedians, but for us to be
involved, we usually just go for boobs. That's rare.
That's right. I sign my boobs, which is what I do every time.
But for us, like, I don't speak for Taylor, but for me, I always felt a little out of place being on stage in a comedy club because I'm not a comedian. So I felt a little bit like an intruder. So that at least felt like, and he was the owner of the club, right? Who invited us to sign the wall.
Yeah.
So it felt like a little bit of acceptance on the,
but it was also at the end of the tour. Night. So to me, it's like, you guys earned your place by the end of that tour there. You know, I saw in real time, the two of you sort of earn your chops on stage.
Right.
You know, like from Omaha to Atlanta, you guys, your timing was so much better in the live presence. Your ability to sort of riff was a little bit better.
Daryl's Chinese impression got way better.
I know.
So good.
Dude, you're
so
never going to get on SNL, dude. Yeah.
Stop applying. I'll add.
That will work for Mad TV, though.
I will add that I think.
Mr. Swan.
I'm glad that you were felt comfortable enough and flattered enough and saw it as something significant, because I do think that, you know, the mission statement for the Cooligans is to make soccer feel, you know, cool and feel like a part of the culture. I like that you even mentioning like that they were like, you know, soccer stars in the crowd. Like their comedy shows, the comedy world, this happens all the time where there might be celebrities there that because they want to laugh too.
Yeah.
And the fact that we can merge our worlds, which are our two clear worlds. We love soccer. We love comedy.
Yeah.
And the fact that the final show in Atlanta just like sort of proved like the concept of like, this can work and feel normal and feel cool. And nobody's embarrassed to be here. Yeah. Nobody's embarrassed to be a soccer fan.
It's almost like when we learned to go up front of the show and explain what the show is.
Oh, yeah,
that people
totally
knew what we were doing and it made more sense.
Yeah. The way I explained that tour was it was all a practice run for Atlanta. And I think in Atlanta, we landed at 10. You know what I mean?
It
was
did
perfect.
Feel like a culmination, right?
Yeah. It felt like, look, here's everything we figured out while we were on the road.
But Omaha and Kansas City. Yeah. We love you guys.
Oh, and Virginia Beach was a blast, right? Yeah. If it's a blast, I meant bomb.
Yeah, if it sank into the water, I wouldn't cry.
I mean, the show did.
It was a great experience overall, and I'm hoping soon we will be doing it again. So all right, so that is it. Thank you for all the questions.
All Virginia Beach tour.
We're back again tomorrow.
Can we get to yell the Cooligans?
Oh, of course, in our lovely DC hotel. So with that said, thank you again for watching. Thank you again for listening. Again, go listen to part one on Total Soccer Show if you did not do that, because there might have been some inside jokes on Nips this episode that you did not understand, and you need the backstory.
Did you say Nips?
He did.
It was a Nips slip. We all got distracted by it.
That was an actual Nips slip.
Genuine emotional sentiment. We all got distracted by Nips. Yeah.
We all looked at each other when you said it. Nips.
Can't stop thinking about Alexis's tits. Sorry.
My bad. They got a bunch of Sharpie marks on it. It's like a map of a hurricane in the city we're in.
So thank you for joining us, guys, and thank you for watching and listening. So with that said, for Taylor Rockwell, for Daryl Grove, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
Cooligans, my bad, sorry, I thought of something else.